who's on the rate, who's on this station probably more than anybody else, really.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder you're so smooth and polished.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't used to be. You always were pretty polished, even when you the day you came in off the.
Well, that's very kind of you guys.
Right, but now especially for sure. Yeah, boy, what a week you guys had with a happy hour, right?
And yeah, that was great.
Doing a year in retrospective for the war each year, 1941 through 45.
Right, right.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Great programming. So did you learn a lot?
Yeah, it was actually interesting to hear a different point of view, you know, from the people on the boats and stuff like that. And especially because most of the time you hear about the European theater, you know, everything happening over in Europe.
Yep.
And not so much about the Pacific and what happened over there. So it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, great. Okay, so keep attuned to your favorite radio station for great programming like that. Now, however, it's time for, are you ready? The Saturday special. If you don't believe me, listen to this.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, you too. Welcome to your favorite radio station and your favorite program on your favorite radio station, the Saturday Special, with none other than MZ. That's me. What have I been smoking? Nothing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, all right.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Okay, we got to do this. We got to do this right. I mean, fanfare or crossfire? What we're going to be talking about does have some controversy, and I think it's going to upset some people.
All right.
In that regard, if you know, we should play the crossfire. So let's do that. On the other hand, the special fanfare music is reserved for special guests. Nah, the guest isn't that special. We'll just keep this. Does anybody remember Mark Stewart? Anybody at all? Call 479-1080 if you remember Mark. Nobody's calling, Mark. I guess you didn't make much of an impression the few times that you were on doing talk radio. But today you're going to. Today you're going to make an impression. I know.
How do you know?
Well, because you made an impression on me during our beach walk the other day. And it wasn't a very good one.
No.
No. I mean, let me rephrase that. I'm a positive sort of person, as you know, right?
Okay.
I don't like negativity, but I also don't like to be in la-la land either. And what I got out of our beach walk the other day is that I, like so much of our population, may be in la-la land with regard to investments and so forth. Okay,
it's not just investments, but in terms of just money in general.
Okay, well,
and what it really boils down to is this: what is money? And at one time, every dollar that you had in your pocket was actually redeemable in gold. It was a Federal Reserve note.
It is still a Federal Reserve note, but being a Federal Reserve note doesn't mean anything.
It was.
There were gold certificates.
It was exactly.
And there were silver certificates.
It was
now, I can't
redeemable
in gold.
In gold.
Right. Now, I can't remember, and I'm 55, I can't remember back as far as when they had when the money said redeemable gold certificate.
No, it said redeemable something.
Can you remember that?
No, I remember seeing one, I think. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. You know, we don't have a lot of time.
It's there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You go back to, I think it was the early 70s when Richard Nixon actually took the dollar off the gold standard. And up until that point, $35 could buy you an ounce of gold pretty much for the whole century. And you know, for as long as there's been dollars.
Are you sure that was the date? Because it seems to me that it was
the early 70s.
It might have even been before that it became illegal for humans in the United States to own gold. Animals could own gold, but not humans. No, seriously. You know more about it.
No. There was a period of time when you couldn't own gold, but that's not. I don't think in the last 30 years.
Okay.
But in the early 70s, they basically decided that they were going to start just printing up money based on nothing, and you know, after that, the price of gold shot up to the moon, and then, like I was saying to you in the. You know, in the 80s, we had a period of high productivity. And when there's a lot of productivity out there, it keeps inflation down. So it didn't matter that the Federal Reserve was printing up all these dollars out of thin air with no backing because, first of all, everyone bought into it around the world. The U.S. dollar became the reserve currency. Other countries would buy our treasuries because they felt the most creditworthy borrower in the world was the federal government of the United States. So people would buy up bonds left and right, treasury bonds, and keep interest rates down. And so we had a period of low inflation in the 80s and 90s. And a lot of this had to do with high productivity in the United States. We invented the personal computer and the whole industry that surrounds it, the uh-huh. internet and everything else. So our exports were strong, and we were strong
because
economically.
Of low interest rates. Now, low interest rates were also a product of it.
Low interest rates were a product of the high productivity, the strong trade balance that we had, and as well. Even in Clinton, in his era, we had a zero budget deficit at one time. So the dollar was strongest when Clinton left office at the beginning of this decade. Now, what happened in the last 6 or 7 years is something completely different, something new to anyone of my age. I am 40 and most or 39, but most people. Unless they're older than me, can't really remember what it was like in the 70s, rampant inflation, hyperinflation.
Yeah.
And what I'm about to put forth here is that we're about to enter a period right now of hyperinflation. And I'm going to explain why. Costs are going to go up except for housing. Interests are going to go up. Consumer goods are going to go up. The cost of housing is going to be the only thing that's going to go down. So I'll explain to you why.
That's good for people who are renters.
No, people who have an interest in buying at some point.
Right.
At some point, I would say don't hop on that right now. Don't start getting into real estate now. I say we probably have another 18 months before there's a bottom. Now, it's just my opinion. I mean, I could be completely wrong, but it could be another 2 years or 3 years before there's a bottom. I mean, if you compare it to the early 90s, there was a long period of time from like the 1989 all the way to 1995 where real estate prices didn't go anywhere. But now we're seeing a period where real estate prices are literally going down. They're dropping. And that's really not happened before.
It dropped. It dropped in the early 90s.
It dropped
about 20%.
Then that could happen again.
But let
me get back to my original theme here, okay? So what has happened in the last 7 years is pretty dramatic, and it's pretty serious in terms of the economy and in terms of the value of the dollars in your pocket right now. Whatever your net worth is, whoever wants to quantify their net worth in dollar terms – may feel good if they look at their bank account or their stock market account and they see the numbers are rising. And they may feel that they're a little bit richer. But when it comes right down to it, the dollar is worth half as much as it was not too long ago. I mean, think about it. Just a few years ago, in terms of Canadian dollars, one U.S. dollar was about – one Canadian dollar was only about 60 cents in the United States $0.55-$0.60. So right now,
now it's on a par.
We're on par with the Canadian dollar, which is pretty serious. Where the British pound is worth $2. One British pound is worth $2. You go to England, you put down a dollar on the table, that's only worth 50 cents or pence to them. Yeah. So what's happening right now is the dollar is tanking. And what I want to discuss in as quickly as possible is what the result is of that is going to be in terms of inflation and what the causes of this are. Well, in the around 2001, 2002, Greenspan, who was the chairman of the Federal Reserve at the time, lowered interest rates rapidly. Why did he do that? Well, we were attacked in September 11th, and the economy was still reeling from the dot-com boom or bust in the stock market. And he was concerned about deflation and about the economy spiraling into a recession and a depression. So what did he do? He expanded a tremendous amount of credit and expanded a tremendous amount of cash, capital, into the system. And in doing so, he created the real estate bubble. And there was such cheap.
One person has the authority to do that.
Yep. The chairman of the Federal Reserve is more powerful than the president. Far more powerful. He's the most powerful man in the world.
But it's only one interest rate that he controls that doesn't really have a direct effect on the others.
You know, and we'll get into that in a minute. He controls the overnight lending rate, and then there's another factor, which is the long-term interest rates, which are basically controlled by the bond market. But, you know, because the dollar was strong and because China I'm getting off into a tangent here. I wanted to finish on my first one, but real quick, China has indulged us by keeping their currency low, and that has held inflation down. By keeping their yuan, Y-U-A-N, that's the Chinese currency, by keeping their currency artificially low against the U.S. dollar, they made all those goods in Kmart and Target and what have you so cheap that they've kept nominal inflation down in the United States, even as the Federal Reserve was expanding the money supply by printing up dollars that are backed by nothing. So what happened? You heard on the radio, right here on this station and so many other stations, you heard commercials, get a loan, 1%, no money down, buy a house. They were giving away money. There were so many lenders out there just throwing money at people. If they had a pulse, they could put them in a house. Didn't matter. No earnings, no job, no credit.
Even if they didn't have a pulse, they could put them in a house.
They could put a dead person in the house.
That's
if they could just get them to somehow sign the papers, anyone could buy a house. And they were just giving the money and pushing the house at them. And so irresponsible. And what that did was it created a situation where real estate prices were unsustainably rising. They were getting so high. And I knew at the time anyone who was buying real estate in 2005 or 2006, in my opinion, was an idiot. And I told anyone I knew, anyone who would listen to me, including you, don't buy real estate because of the credit, liquidity, the amount of loose credit out there. The prices were unsustainable and unrealistic.
You told me that in 2001.
All right. Well, that when I was wrong then.
Clearly.
I was clearly wrong then. But what I saw was the Federal Reserve printing up a lot of money. And basically, the reason the long-term interest rates stayed low throughout the most of this decade is because China, in order to manipulate their currency, in order to keep their currency low against the dollar, they bought up all our government's debt, a lot of our government's debt, a lot of treasury bills. And because they were buying those bonds and taking the bonds off the market, it kept interest rates on a 30-year bond low. Okay. Now China is going to get to the point now where they're going to start to strengthen their currency. Now that they've taken our manufacturing sector away, now that they've, you know, basically put us out of business, like the way a heroin dealer gives you heroin for free until you're hooked and then it starts charging you for it. They've given us so much cheap goods that our businesses are no longer competing. Now they're going to start to raise their price. They're going to raise their currency. They're not going to buy our bonds as much or at all. And what's going to happen is long-term interest rates are going to go up. Okay? Long-term interest rates are going to go up. So that's the other shoe that's going to drop in terms of –
Won't there also be a shift? Won't there be an equilibrium? Won't there be a shift back of manufacturing to this country?
Eventually, will after a lot of pain. But it's, you know, industry like plants and assembly lines and things like this don't just sprout out like cabbage in a field. You have to invest in infrastructure. And a lot of these infrastructure, this infrastructure is rusty in the Rust Belt. And, you know, in Detroit, where there's 10 or 15% unemployment, and Ohio and places like that, where, you know, there's a real recession going on. It's not going to happen overnight. But yes, eventually the cheap dollar will cause foreigners to buy U.S. goods because of our cheap dollar. Our goods will be cheaper in their currency, and it will create manufacturing in the United States. But that's a ways off. That's definitely a ways off. But, I mean, what we have going on right now is a situation where just 2 weeks ago, the Federal Reserve met, a little less than 2 weeks ago, September 18th. Mm-hmm. And because of all this calamity that's going on with the housing market, people are losing their houses. You hear about foreclosures every night on TV. The Federal Reserve decided to bail out all those irresponsible lenders and all those irresponsible borrowers by printing up even more money and lowering interest rates. But this is going to backfire. And what I'm saying is, like I said, the dollar isn't backed by anything now. And the Federal Reserve just cut interest rates by 50 basis points. The price of gold in the last month went up from $640 to $750, okay?
It's approaching its all-time record. Huh?
It's approaching its all-time record. So what have I done as an investor?
And when did you do it?
We'll get into the nitty-gritty. But first, I just want to make sure I've completely illustrated my point here.
Okay.
Because the Chinese have bought up our treasuries, they've kept interest rates artificially low on the long end. Now, foreign investors are going to pull their money out of the dollar because they see the dollar is tanking. They don't want to continue funding our irresponsible spending on a government level. The deficit that our federal government is spending every year, which is the amount of money that federal government spends in excess of the taxes they take in. In other words, they're spending money and borrowing and printing money to pay for all the spending they're doing that isn't actually met by taxing. See, if they tax X and they spend X times 2, then there's a gap there. Mm-hmm. Now, it used to be the Chinese made up that gap by buying our bonds, but that's not going to happen anymore. So long-term interest rates are going to rise. Now, even as that's happening, he's printing up more money. Bernanke is printing up more money.
You think there are more?
And that's going to create a lot of nominal inflation cuts, in the United States.
More interest cuts in the offing?
Yes, I think he's going to cut interest rates again because Bernanke has pretty much said in so many terms, so many words, that he will bail this market out. Ben Bernanke wrote a thesis for his doctorate at, I think it was Princeton, and he earned the nickname Helicopter Ben because he was talking about his doctoral thesis was about the Great Depression. And he said the big problem, the reason we went into a long depression was because they didn't lower interest rates fast enough during the Great Depression. And he said it should be done all at once. And what actually happened during that time was they lowered interest rates too low. And that was the thesis of his doctorate when he became a doctor of economics. Now he's the chairman of the Federal Reserve, and he's actually putting his theory to test. He's testing his theory by printing up a lot of money to try to bail us out of a recession or a depression or whatever else. So what does that mean to you? Well, if you have a considerable amount of money or any amount of savings at all, that money you have in the bank, is probably one of the worst places that you can have it right now. Because if you're keeping it denominated in the U.S. dollar, it's going to decline in value a lot faster than the interest rate you're going to get paid on that money, whether it's 4 or 5% or whatever you can make on that money in bonds or in a bank account. The bottom line is that dollar is going to buy considerably less and less every year. So what do you do? That's the question. What do you do? Well, if you don't have any savings, you don't have to worry because as inflation occurs, you know, hopefully if you have a job and it's a secure job, your wages presumably will rise a little bit. Probably not as fast though as the expenses. But at least if you don't have any savings, you don't have that much to lose. If you got zero, you know, zero divided by zero is still zero, you know. But the fact of the matter is, if you've got, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $100,000 in the bank, that's the wrong place to keep it. I suggest that for the most conservative, you know, person out there, that they consider putting a portion of their money in gold. Now you say, how do you do that? I mean, do I store gold in my house and then I got to worry about somebody coming and stealing it? Do I want to pay for a safe deposit box? You know, not necessary. There's something called an exchange-traded fund called GLD, and it trades on the stock exchange just like any other share, like General Electric is GE, General Motors is GM. This one is GLD, and it trades on the stock exchange like a stock, but it's not a stock. It is an exchange-traded certificate that is backed by gold, and it and I've been watching it, you know, for as long as it's been around. When gold goes up 10 cents, it goes up 10 cents. It tracks the price of gold in lockstep. So investing with putting your money in that symbol, GLD, will, in essence, act as an investment in gold. And you can just keep your money in your brokerage account.
Is this a company? No, GLD is
basically what they do is they store gold in you know, big vaults, obviously, and then they issue certificates to the public that equal the amount of gold that they have. So each certificate represents 1/10 of 1 ounce of gold. So if gold is trading for 750,
the only company that has
there's a few of them out there.
Are there some other less easy to remember symbols like GLD?
Oh, well, there's GLD and there's SLV for silver. SLV is silver. But that's for the most conservative money. That would be for money that you want as cash, okay? That would be the equivalent of cash. If you put it in those symbols, you'll be okay if you just want cash. Now, if you wanted to get a little bit more aggressive, or, you know, I don't even mean speculative. I think it's a lot less speculative and a lot less risky than just keeping your money in dollars, and that is consider some foreign dividend-paying stocks. Some companies, I have some companies in Brazil, some telephone companies that pay 6, 7, 8, 9% dividends a year. Plus, they're denominated in the Brazilian real, so my dividends come in the Brazilian currency. I also have a New Zealand. I'll give you some tickers for those who are taking notes or recording the program. New Zealand Telecom, NZT. It pays about a 9% yield, meaning you buy shares of NZT, you'll get dividends to the tune of 9%. And the dividends and the shares are denominated in the New Zealand dollar. So as the U.S. dollar declines against other currencies, the dividends are going to rise, even if they don't rise in their own currency, and even if the company doesn't do anything to grow its business and improve its dividend payout. Just by the fact that the dollar declines against the New Zealand dollar, our dollar declines against the New Zealand dollar, your dividends from NZT and your share price from NZT will rise. And so that's a very safe, you know, investment in my opinion. Then even more aggressive is to actually buy shares in gold mining companies. And one of the most conservative gold mining companies out there is Barrick Gold, and they their ticker is ABX. And, you know, as the price of gold goes up in dollars, benefits of owning a gold company are clear. Their profits will rise because it costs them X amount of money to take an ounce of gold out of the ground. Say it costs them $300. Well, if the price of gold is $600, they make $300 an ounce. If the price of gold is $750, then that extra $150 which the gold price went up, it doesn't cost them any more to take the gold out of the ground. So that money goes directly to their bottom line, which will improve their stock price. Now, we don't have that much time. The hour's halfway over. I'm just going to say this. If anyone out there has $100,000 to invest, I have a personal broker at the Royal Bank of Canada, and he would love to take on a few new clients. Now, you know, I'll just say this once, and I'll say it again in the next segment. What's the phone number? 429-2222?
Correct. That's the KSCO comment line.
Yes, If you just leave your name and number, 429-2222.
If you want to be provided with the name of this broker who has done so well for Mark.
He's done really well, and I'll call him back. But the bottom line is, folks, you got to get out of the dollar. You got to take your money out of the Bank of America, out of the Bank of America, and put it into the Royal Bank of Canada. Get your money out of the U.S. dollar right now, because your dollars are going to be worth less and less and less. Your purchasing power is going to go down. Prices are going to go up,
Mark,
and there's going to be rampant inflation.
Lest people think that this is an infomercial, because of the phone number that we gave out, that is the KSCO comment.
No, right. I mean, you had me on here as a guest. I have an interesting topic.
That being the case, we want to invite callers
Okay, that's fine.
Who may agree with you or who may disagree with you. to call 479-1080 and go on the air with us here
That's
on
fine.
Your favorite radio station.
That's fine.
So we're going to open the phone lines up right now. This is the Saturday special audience. You've heard this program for years. We've never done a program quite like this at all. On the Saturday special. I mean, this is like a Bob Brinker type, you know, money talk program.
But you'll never hear Bob Brinker say this kind of stuff at all. He doesn't talk about getting your money out of the dollar. He's talking about staying in stocks, and that's all well and good. But, you know, when people call up and say, what about the dollar's decline? He doesn't care. He wanted Ben Bernanke to lower interest rates.
Uh-huh.
I think it was a big slap in the face to people who save money and keep their money denominated in dollars, people who have money in bonds, people who have money in CDs or government bonds, because they think their dollars are actually going to be, when they come time to spend them, are going to actually be worth what they were when they saved them. But they're not. It's like stale bread. If you don't spend your money right away when you earn it, you're going to lose
it.
It's going to
lose its value. Yeah.
And that's confiscation in the form of inflation. If the government doesn't tax you, they have another way of taking away your money without you even knowing. And that is by increasing the number of dollars in circulation. And the more dollars in circulation, chasing
inflation.
A finite number of goods and services.
Inflation.
There's only so many man hours, and there's only so many hard goods in the world. And then that's it. You know, and the more dollars they produce in circulation are all chasing the same finite number of goods and services. So the more dollars they produce, that is confiscation of your purchasing power, confiscation of your earnings, and that in addition to whatever taxes you pay.
Well, you could,
it should definitely outrage people.
It should outrage people that the interest rates were lowered.
Well, anyone who has their money saved in dollars, if you have your money in government bonds or in the bank, you should be outraged. If you have your money in risky stocks, at least in the short term, the fact that he lowered interest rates made those stocks go up.
How about if you have your money in real estate?
Well, that's another story.
That's a good thing that he did then. Huh?
Well, here's the thing. Over the long term, maybe. But in the short term, no. I think what's going to happen is because he lowered short-term interest rates, people are taking their money, international investors are taking their money out of the dollar. They're selling their bonds, and this is going to make long-term interest rates go up, which is it's going to make it even harder to get a jumbo loan. And mostly in California, if you want to buy a house, you're looking at a jumbo loan. Certainly around here you are. And that's going to be harder and harder to get that money to buy a property worth more than $400,000 because it's a jumbo loan. The interest rates are going to go up, especially for a long-term mortgage. Now, some of those people who borrowed subprime, those people may be bailed out a little bit because the short-term interest rate is going to come down a little bit. But the fact is, it's a lot harder to buy a home. Now, why do I say don't buy a home right now? Real quick here. The reason is, even if home prices don't go down at all, and fact is, I think they will, in nominal terms, if prices don't go down in numeric terms, if they just stay flat, then you're losing still the value in the fact that it is denominated in U.S. dollars. So say your home is worth $500,000 today and it's worth $500,000 two or three years from now. It hasn't gone down in numeric terms. But that $500,000 is worth a hell of a lot less when you compare it to other currencies, to gold, and to the purchasing power when you go into the grocery store. Does anyone want to...
You don't have a crystal ball, but obviously...
That's my premise here.
That's what you believe here. Craig in San Jose, welcome to the Saturday special with MZN. Mark, you are on.
Hello.
Hi.
What about putting your money in fruit trees and starting a vegetable garden?
That works. If you could sell the vegetables and fruits, the price of food is definitely going up. So that, in a very small way, is definitely a hedge against inflation.
Yeah, thinking about just eating it.
I mean, if you got land and you can create income off of it, why not?
Do you agree with what Mark said, Craig? About the future of the dollar and how it's not wise for people to keep their money in U.S. dollars, at least in the
I hate to go along with him. I hope it's not going to get as bad as what he's saying, but it's already gotten pretty bad, and it's sort of heading in that direction. Can we put the U.S. up for sale? Maybe the Chinese will buy it.
Well, that's pretty much what's happening right now. That's exactly what's happening. You know, we've borrowed so much money from them to do all our spending, and they've loaned us the money, and now they're going to repossess because we really can't pay back the money that we borrowed. So
we can print it.
We can print it, and that's what we're going to do. And the money that they get back is going to be worth a hell of a lot less than the money that they loaned us. And when they realize that, they're gonna stop lending us money, and that's gonna cause interest rates to go up.
Maybe the Chinese will buy KSCO. I hear it's up.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter that there's only 2% Chinese people in Santa Cruz County. They can still afford to. They can still afford it and broadcast in Chinese.
You wake up one day and you're, I'm not going to win. And then Rosemary will have to learn Chinese, man.
Somehow I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay, guys.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for calling. Thanks.
Yeah. Our one and only caller to the Saturday special.
Want to take a commercial break and give the phone numbers and maybe more people will call up.
You can tell that that Mark has been a talk show host here, huh?
Yeah, you can kind of tell.
Yeah, you can tell. Yeah, let's give the phone numbers, 479-1080. That's the only phone number, actually, that gives a connection to our whole bank of lines here. KSCO, if you want to send a fax, we do have that antiquated technology still available to you, 475-2967. If you want to send an email, it's mz@ksco.com.
And one thing, if you do want me to get you in touch with my broker at the Royal Bank of Canada, it's 429-2222. That's Michael's voicemail. Just leave your name and number, and I'll call you back.
Yeah. Oh, you'll call him back, or your broker will
call him. No, I'll call him back, and I'll just screen the person, make sure that they're cool, and then I'll hand them over to my broker, who will get their money out of the dollar.
Yeah. Jeez. Maybe I should do that. You really think I should?
I don't think. I know you should. If you've got cash and they're in bonds, and your cash is in bonds or CDs
or
anything that's just plain old vanilla dollar denominated, you got to at least consider getting it into some other currencies, which also will pay you a yield. The Canadian dollar, the Australian dollar, the New Zealand dollar, these are safe countries, and they pay high yield. The British pound, the euro.
It would be terrible if their currencies will drop in value.
The
currencies go up in value.
Currencies
and they
go
drop
up and down. True, but they don't have the particular trade imbalance and budget deficit that the United States government does. They're not borrowing and spending far more than they tax. Mm-hmm. And also, you have to understand that the dynamic in this country is the baby boom generation is retiring. We've got all these obligations, all these entitlements that we're giving to the retiring baby boomers, Social Security. We got all the miserable people coming back from Iraq who fought in this ridiculous war that we didn't need to wage. They're coming back with psychological problems, with missing legs. They're going to be on Social Security for the rest of their lives. They're not going to be able to get jobs. We've got all these entitlements, trillions of dollars of entitlements. And now there's going to be a recession because of housing. You think the government's going to be able to raise taxes? No. What can they do? Print money. Ink, paper, that's all they need, folks.
Now you got the phone.
I got the phone
lit up.
This
is terrible. Hey, Dave, should we do the commercials? Yeah, or do you want? Well, let's take a phone call.
Why don't we skip the commercials and take them all next hour?
Take them all next hour.
Take all the commercials next hour. Yeah.
No. We're going to take more commercials now. Okay, we need to do that for sure. But while he's screening some of these phone calls, Aaron in Colorado, how are you listening to us, Daryl? We're not streaming.
On the internet.
We are.
Yeah.
Oh, hi. How you doing?
I'm
wow.
Good.
Thanks for calling.
You got to tell me how to do that because we don't do that anymore. Anyhow, go ahead. You're
on
the
air. It's on the internet, 1080, I guess.
Well, it must be saved. Anyhow, let's go. You're on the air with Mark.
I've called before,
Mark,
KSCO, AM,
okay, now,
1080.
That's okay. All right.
Yeah, I've heard about the devalued dollar and the fake printed up fiat money for like the last 6 or 7 years listening to Patriot Radio.
Right.
So I've been buying gold and silver.
Then you're a very happy man, aren't you?
I bought silver when it was $6 an ounce.
You're just sitting on a pile of dough now, and then you're going around spending your money
Well,
I mean, I pulled out of my Roth IRAs and my kids' college funds and put it all in silver and gold, but
how have you done?
Oh, I've gone. I've over doubled my money for sure.
Uh-huh. But how long a period?
About 6 years, uh-huh. 5-6 years.
But here's the thing. His name is Craig.
Not Aaron.
Aaron. Here's the thing. Your money isn't worth any more than it was 5 or 6 years ago.
Exactly.
It's just kept up. Your purchasing power has kept in par with your savings.
Exactly.
But in fact, all these dollars that you have now more are worth a hell of a lot less. So, but it just means you haven't lost your net worth due to confiscation by inflation.
Right. Much,
I haven't made any money. You're exactly right.
You've made numeric dollars, but you haven't made
earned dollars.
Exactly. But that's all you really need to do. In the old days, dollars were backed by gold, and you could actually store wealth using dollars. You can't do that anymore.
So I guess that's what I do. But I have a couple comments or questions maybe. Is our country going to be going to the euro and our leaders and government that push this kind of thing, aren't they more or less traitors?
I mean,
T-R-A-I-T-O-R-S.
Traitors.
Not T-R-A-D.
Oh, I thought you were saying traitors. No, traitors. I think so.
He was saying traitors.
Traitors to the country by getting us by destroying our dollar and pushing us toward this euro coin. Isn't that where we're going? And
I agree with Aaron. Don't you agree with him?
I agree.
Yeah. Okay, Aaron, thanks very much for your call, okay?
Okay.
Now we're going to go to Brother Daryl in Santa Cruz. By the way, if you want to call us, it's 479-1080 in area 831. If you want to email me, you can do that now during the show, mz@ksco.com. You can do it after the show. The same address applies. But if you do it during the show, we'll probably read it. Brother Daryl, you're on.
Hi, I would think that being in debt would be the best position to be in as long as you had secure income.
If you have a fixed interest rate, yes. If you have a variable interest rate, no, you're going to get screwed. And if your fixed interest rate is low, yes. But if you're trying to go get a fixed interest rate now, you're going to be sorry to find out that it's very hard to get a good fixed interest rate now. But if you had already, like I did, I took out a fixed I didn't need the money, but I took out a fixed loan on my house in 2005 when interest rates were rock bottom, thanks to the Chinese, at a rate of 5.75. And I took out several hundred thousand dollars, and it's locked in 30 years fixed. Yes, that's a great place to be. Absolutely.
That was my question.
Yep, you're correct. You're absolutely correct because you're going to benefit from the printing of money because the money you pay back, if it's a fixed loan, will be worth less than the money you borrowed.
Steve in Watsonville on a terrible phone. You're on the air.
Hi.
Yeah.
I'll just ask real quick.
Okay.
What to do with 401ks?
Well, a 401k is like any other brokerage account. You can transfer it to the Royal Bank of Canada, and we can make sure that, you know, my broker who helped me out can make sure that you get, you know, into gold, into foreign securities, and if you want to be really conservative, into foreign cash or foreign, you know, low risk, low not volatile investments that pay a yield, like a foreign utility or a foreign telephone company that pays its dividends in the foreign currency. And or you could even buy a foreign bond. I mean, you could even buy a bond from Switzerland denominated in Swiss franc if you want. I mean, you know, depends on how conservative you want to be. The fact is, if you get your money out of the dollar, you're safe.
Okay. Yeah, let's see. We'll put Steve back on here. Did you have any other questions, Steve?
Yeah. To do that, do I have to divest it? The 401k because
there
may be some penalties.
No, the 401k in and of itself.
As long as there's enough money.
A 401k can be, you can buy anything on the 401k. Like GLD, if you wanted to buy gold, you could buy that on the New York Stock Exchange. You know, your 401k, you're not limited into what you invest. You can invest anything in your 401k, as far as I know. What do you have in your 401k now?
Oh, it's not a lot, 25. Maybe.
Yeah, no, but what do you have it in? What vehicles do you?
It's in various. I think it's split between foreign and domestic, large and small caps.
You're talking about mutual funds, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Well, then you'd sell the mutual funds in your 401k and you'd buy individual equities. You know, with that money, or you want to buy gold, you can buy gold. You want to buy gold stocks, you can buy gold stocks. If you want to buy foreign, you know, conservative investments or foreign bonds, you can do that. You know, to some degree, your foreign mutual funds are going to keep up with inflation because as the U.S. dollar declines, foreign securities that are held by your international mutual fund will do well. So that's a start.
Okay, Steve. Here's Gordon on a cell phone here. Welcome to KSCO, the Saturday special with Mark Stewart and MZ. You're on.
Hi. I've been buying Krugerrand since the late 70s, you know, and putting them away. But I did some long and hard thinking in the last year or two, and I thought, you know, in a bad time, or if the government did like they did in the 30s and outlaws the private ownership of gold, sounds like something Hillary would do.
I decided
to go into silver, and
okay.
I kept the Krugerrands they had, but I've been going for real silver dollars, thinking that if I have to spend these in hard times, the smaller denomination would be better. And, of course, I'm holding them stuff myself and safe. What do you think about that?
I think it's fine. I don't personally think that we're in an era now where the government is going to, you know, make it illegal to hold gold. I just don't see that happening in the short term. You never know. I mean, I think the government's got a lot of problems. The Iraq war is number one. The budget deficit is number two. The housing collapse is number three. You know, all kinds of issues that we have. You know, the manufacturing sector has been destroyed. I don't think the federal government is in a position right now to draw attention to their problem by outlawing the ownership of gold. Most people don't know about this. Most people are just happy to go get a paycheck and put their money in the bank. Most people play by the rules and are oblivious to this. You know, it's very few people like yourself who actually know about it. So I don't think you got anything to worry about. I don't think the government wants to call attention to the fact that they are charlatans and that they're printing up funny money that's worthless. And if they outlaw gold, they're just going to draw a big red flag and everyone's going to suddenly realize what a sham this is.
Yeah,
so I don't think they're going to do that.
That is the point where they outlaw the private ownership of gold. When the bank runs hit and stuff, historically...
They don't need to worry about the bank runs because they'll just keep printing up money. They're going to continue inflating this currency. And so they don't have to worry about anything. They're just going to print up a bunch of money.
What do you think about the strategy of getting lower denomination solid silver coins for
spending purposes? You're saying that like there's going to come a time when people won't accept dollars. No, I don't think that's going to happen. Dollars are just—it's just going to be like you have to be like Tony Soprano. You're going to have to walk into a restaurant with a wad full of bills to pay for something because it's going to be like Zimbabwe. We're not there yet. But no, I think you will always use dollars as your medium of exchange. They're just going to be worth less and less progressively.
Are you predicting the Weimar Republic type thing?
I'm not saying that's going to happen in the short term. But even if 10% of the Weimar Republic happens, even if it's Weimar Light or Zimbabwe Light, I mean, basically, if the dollar goes down 20% and you have your money in gold, at the very least, the gold's going to be worth 20% more. Or the foreign stocks or the foreign bonds or whatever are going to be worth a little bit more. And
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Gordon on cell. Here's Phil in Santa Cruz. You're on KSCO where you called 479-1080. You're on.
Hi, I'll have to admit I turned in a little late, but I'm no novice to this kind of discussion. In fact, I went through something back in the Carter administration, as did the rest of the country, that was far, far worse than it is now.
Super high interest rates.
Yep.
Yeah.
I say we're headed there.
They had to push the interest rates up to 20-21% because we were on the cusp of hyperinflation.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It was beginning to blow, and that's when gold reached its last high point, and silver was $50 an ounce for a while. But the point is, when silver shot up to $50 an ounce and gold was its high point, everyone rushed in and bought it, and they took a bath because it went down.
Mm-hmm.
It goes up and it goes down, and
but we're not at that point yet.
I have some money in the Swiss currency, and it hasn't exploded and paid me a lot. The point is,
check it recently because the dollar just tanked against the Swiss franc.
I know the dollar's at a low point. That would be like buying a stock at a peak. If you bail out of the dollar now, you're probably going to regret it because it's probably at a low point. But my point is, the reason I wanted to call is I want you to summarize what investments you would go into, because I sure wouldn't go into the euro or into the pound, and definitely wouldn't go into the Canadian dollar, because what's wrong with our country is wrong with them in spades.
Okay.
They have all this socialist, social security, free medical care kind of giveaway programs, and yes, they do tax the hell out of their people, which means they probably get less revenue because they're starving, they're discouraging their productivity. And they have tremendous wealth transfers. And mostly, they're not having babies, and there's not going to be a new generation to pay for all
these. Okay, now let me quick. You've said a lot of stuff. Let me try to answer some of your questions.
Yeah.
All right. I understand where you're coming from. And yes, there's a time to buy foreign stocks and gold, and there's a time not to. And I say right now we're about 1977. We're not quite at the boom of 1980. But there will be a time when, you want to cash your gold in and put it back into dollars. So I'm not disagreeing with that. I just don't think that time is now. Now, the other thing about Canada, and some of these other countries is Canada has a tremendous amount of natural resources. Canada has all the natural gas that we need. They have the Canadian oil sands, which is a lot of oil that they're going to be selling to us. And the rate oil is going with the new consumption in India and China, oil is not getting cheaper. So, yeah, Canada does not have a trade imbalance. They do not have a budget deficit. Their dollar is a lot strong. I say it goes higher than the U.S. dollar, so I disagree with you on that. But, you know, I certainly respect your opinion. What would you invest in now? I have a trust that I invested in, and I'm not saying I put my money in it yesterday, but I put it in a few years ago. It's called BPT, the BP Prudhoe Bay Royalty Trust. And it's not a stock. It's a royalty position. So I have a royalty on all the oil, a small portion of all the oil that's pumped out of the North Slope in Alaska, out of BP Prudhoe Bay, their claim there in North Alaska. And when I bought this particular trust, it was $18 and it was yielding 10%, meaning $1.80 a year. Now, BPT trades for about $70 and is paying about $7 a year, also 10% based on its current price, because oil went up. So based on my original $18 purchase of BPT, I'm now earning $7 a year. So, I mean, I'm earning well in excess of 20% a year on my original investment. So I think oil and gas stocks still have a way to go up. I still think gold stocks are a great bet. And to be conservative and to get some conservative income, I'm buying some telephone companies in foreign countries, such as Brazil and New Zealand.
These are all wireless companies, right?
No. Not all wireless companies. Some are just regular telephone companies like their AT&T, New Zealand Telecom.
Any of those were even building those because it costs too much money.
No, everyone needs cable, TV. They need lines to their house for cable or for telephone or for what have you. So, you pay a phone bill, whether it's to your internet provider or to your cable provider. You know, they're solid businesses.
Well,
we could debate about that, but that's
a
different question.
I've been in and out of some of those things you mentioned. I've been advised to buy America Mobile, if you know what that is.
Yes, yes.
And there's an advisor. It's not that I'm that smart. I have an advisor that I pay for. And he had me in some Canadian tar sands. They did very well.
Yes, they did.
And now he's out of all of them.
Well, that's his problem and his decision. I mean, I don't agree with it at all. You're paying a capital gains tax to get out of them. And why? You think oil prices are going down?
Not now.
They're going up and down, but
the bottom line is they're printing up a lot of dollars. And last I saw, there's no machine that with ink and paper can make oil.
Well, oil will probably go up, but it also was up. During the gas crisis years ago, and then it went way down. There's a supply and demand. Yeah.
All right. Well, you're entitled to your opinion. I don't agree.
Phil, thanks for your call. You know what? Stan and Celine. Well, okay. Let's go ahead and take Stan and Celine. It's about real estate as an investment. Go ahead. You're on, Stan.
Good morning.
Hey.
I have a question, a quick one.
Yeah.
If a person's got $300,000 to $500,000 sitting around in CDs, and
I feel really bad for you. Your money's just taking a bath.
Well, let him ask a question.
Well, what I'm thinking about is why not, since the home prices are tanking or starting to, reinvest in about a year into another brand new home and pay it off cash?
You could do that, but in the meanwhile, I'm not saying that necessarily will not work out for you, but I can tell you this, the way things are going, right now you should keep that particular capital that you have in something other than the dollar. That's for my money. That's what I recommend.
That'd be long term, I guess.
Even short term. Yeah. I'd say short term, the dollar is in a nosedive right now.
Yeah, well, I agree. That sort of answers it. I have a home paid for, and I have retirement coming and stuff, and we have this sitting around. I thought, land value is going to drop some, but it's always going to be wanted. So.
Yeah. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you,
Stan.
Very much.
Here's Peter in Monterey. Quick question about government and gold. Go ahead, Peter.
Hello.
Hey, you're on.
Yeah, I got three quick questions.
This is the Peter who's on that commercial.
Yes, that's me.
I recognize your accent. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. My first question is, I think it was during the Roosevelt administration, they came up and said, made it illegal to have gold holdings. Can they do that again?
I mean, can anyone do anything? Yeah, but I don't think that's happening anytime soon. I think they said it's illegal to hold gold coins or certain kinds of gold bullion.
Oh, okay.
But that doesn't mean you can't hold gold stocks. But they're not doing anything like that. That's like not happening anytime soon, I don't think. I mean, you if you really believe that they're going to do that, then you could choose silver, you know, instead. I mean, silver will do the same trick as gold. Bottom line is get your money out of the dollar because they're printing up a lot of dollars and it's a bad store of wealth.
Okay, that answered that. Now, you, during this program, which I've listened to since it started,
right?
You mentioned all kinds of things like possibly investment, New Zealand dollars, ABS, gold fund, I think you mentioned.
GLD is the gold exchange.
What is it?
It's an exchange-traded fund, GLD. That's
GLD.
Gary Lynn David.
Got it. And the last thing you mentioned about the Bank of Canada. My question is, how do you do this? I got the stockbroker.
Here's what you do. 429-2222. Leave your name and number there and ask to have your information passed on to Mark Stewart. Michael will pass on all the names and numbers of anyone who calls 429-2222 and leaves their name and number there. I'll get the information and I'll put you in touch with the Royal Bank of Canada myself personally.
So 429-42.
No, 429-2222, right.
Oh, okay.
That's our KSCO comment line.
Yeah,
okay,
just leave your name and number and ask for it to be forwarded to Mark Stewart.
Okay.
Yeah, it warns you that if you're calling to complain, forget it.
Oh,
so don't whatever you do, don't complain or else it'll hang up on you.
I'm trying to get some information.
Okay, good.
And the last thing is I have about $150,000 cash available by talking cash, money market, CDs, an equity line on my house, which I haven't even used. I have no mortgages on any of my property, and you say you should get out of the dollar. What would you recommend?
Well, bottom line is you're in a home. How old a man are you?
How old am I?
Roughly, you know.
No, not roughly. I'm 76 years old.
Okay, I figured you were 13. Okay, the bottom line is you've got a home, you know, you need to be very conservative because you're not trying to, you know, set the world on fire. You're just trying to live out your remainder of your life, hopefully another 75 years, in comfort and safety. So I wouldn't suggest anything risky. I wouldn't roll the dice. I would just say put some of your money in an exchange traded fund like GLD, so it's backed by gold instead of dollars, which is backed by nothing, or SLV for silver. I mean, if you want some income, we can put you in some telephone or utilities that aren't in the United States that are going to be paying dividends in foreign currency.
We can? Are you in this business?
No, I mean, what do you mean? My broker, who's already made it clear he's looking for a couple new clients, a few new clients.
And you want to help him.
And I want to help him out because he's helped me out so much, and I've done so well with my investments.
And I don't need the income. So
you don't need the income. Well, okay. You know, the name of the game for someone at your age is safety. And I don't think it's safe to keep your money denominated in the U.S. currency right now with Ben Bernanke printing up money like there's no tomorrow.
Okay,
Peter, thanks for calling. Here's our last caller for this segment. It's Richard in Salinas. Hey, Richard, you're on with MZ and Mark.
Good morning here. Hey. There's a couple of quotes here that you guys might not recognize the quote, but you'll recognize the author. It says, "We are in danger of being overwhelmed with irredeemable paper, mere paper, representing not gold nor silver, no, sir, representing nothing but broken promises, bad faith, bankrupt corporations, cheated creditors, and a ruined people." That was said by Daniel Webster in the speech to the U.S. Senate in 1833. And the other one is paper money eventually returns to the intrinsic value zero.
Well, it's worth something. You could put it in a fireplace.
Well, Voltaire said that. Kennedy, I think, was assassinated because he was trying to go back to the gold standard and get off the Federal Reserve in 1963. On our dollars, they were called the U.S. note instead of the Federal Reserve note.
Right.
And I think that's what, from that point on, things have been, you know, under control of the Federal Reserve.
Well, history repeats itself. That's one thing we know is history repeats itself. And to learn about what's going to happen in the future, you just look at what happened in the past. And I think right now we're in a situation similar to the 70s. The only difference is In the 70s, we were the biggest consumer of oil, and we still had a lot of oil in production in the United States. Now, we've given up almost all our oil production to the Middle East, which is just waiting to explode, you know, with violence and.
Well, that's kind of good and bad, because supposedly we have more reserves of oil in our country, Alaska, around the coast, than they have over in the Middle East right
well,
now.
Well, I don't think that's correct. I don't think.
Good point.
Richard, thanks for your call. Mark, thanks
bottom line,
for
and the other one thing is
we gotta go.
We have China.
We gotta
and,
go.
And India too, consuming oil.
That's the end of this segment. We got an entrepreneurial success story next hour, right here on your favorite radio station, KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m. Here is Fox News.
Fox News Radio. I'm Rod Fritz. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich making it official. He is not running for president in 2008. Coming up short in the cash department.
He's set to make the announcement at his three-day American Solutions Conference in Atlanta. For the past several months, Gingrich has said if he could raise $30 million, he would run. That's according to the reporting of our own Carl Cameron. Now, there are just 3 months left till the first vote. No candidate in this race has ever raised that much in one quarter.
It's Fox's Caroline Shively in Washington. A message for the man wanted in connection with a sexual assault on a three-year-old girl in Nevada.
Chester Arthur Stiles, turn yourself into your local law enforcement agency so that you can be arrested for the warrants that we have open for you, so you can be further investigated for any culpability you have in this case.
Nye County, Nevada Sheriff Tony DeMeo, the little girl on the videotape has been found safe, living with her family. She's now 7 years old. Both President Bush and the Democrats using their weekly radio address today to press differing views on expanded federal health care for children. President says he'll veto the bill since it's a budget buster.
Congressional leaders have put forward an irresponsible plan that would dramatically expand this program beyond its original intent. And they know I will veto it. But it is good that they kept the program running while they try to work out a more responsible approach.
Democratic response being delivered by 12-year-old Graham Frost, who's benefited from the program and wants to persuade the president to change his mind over the veto.
I don't know why President Bush wants to stop kids who really need help from getting chipped. All I know is I have some really good doctors. They took great care of me when I was sick, and I'm glad I could see them because of the Children's Health Program.
President says the $35 billion program is too expensive. He wants Congress to pass a less costly measure. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Change.
You don't have to buy a new car to do your part to have a positive impact on the environment.
Would you believe a typical American uses over 700 pounds of paper a year? That equals about 9 trees as big around as telephone poles and 4 stories high to manufacture the paper you use each year.
Including boxes, computer printouts, napkins, magazines, toilet paper, you name it.
Start looking for recycled paper products and buy them.
40% of landfill is paper. 1 ton of recycled paper saves 17 trees and 3 cubic yards of landfill.
Also, 7,000 gallons of water, 4,200 kilowatt hours, and 390 gallons of oil.
And prevent 60 pounds of air pollutants. See, using recycled paper can make a difference.
More tips to combat global warming with a cool change are ahead on Fox News Talk. American soldiers in Afghanistan trying to change the way the Afghan National Police are operating. Advisors say the police need to do more to find and fight the insurgents.
Afghan police are being advised by American soldiers in Khost province to become more bold. Most of the Afghan police are currently reluctant to get out and mingle with the population. Instead, they stick closely to their static strong points, many located on hilltops, says police advisor Major John Cunningham.
So we're encouraging them to conduct more presence patrols, to be out on the streets, out in the villages, and be seen by the people, and do the checkpoint operations down on the main routes in and out of some of these cities or some of these villages.
The Americans say the Afghan police need to get out amongst the population on foot to track down the foreign fighters who seek haven in the villages. Foreigners would be obvious to a police foot patrol, but are hard to pick out when seen from a hilltop. In Khost Province, Doug Grindle, Fox News Radio.
Entering a new phase in home entertainment, two big companies have combined forces to demonstrate the first ever 3D HD TV.
Using Texas Instruments mirror technology, David Naranjo of Mitsubishi says they've created a 3D television system where the images appear to be jumping off your TV screen.
Using the DLP chip technology, we can actually split the content in half and basically with the glasses send signals to each of your eyes.
You have to wear special glasses to decode the 3D signal. Right now there are only about a dozen 3D movies available, but gamers are expected to embrace the technology first, then movies and TV shows will follow. In San Antonio, Jim Forsyth, Fox News Radio.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. There's nothing wrong with your cable. The children's TV network Nickelodeon remains dark right now to get kids off the couch. It's called Worldwide Day of Play. Nickelodeon pulled the plug at noon Eastern time today and will stay dark for another hour or so. I'm Rod Fritz, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You have it tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It is Saturday, September 29th, 2007. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast. Today you can expect sunny conditions with highs around 71 degrees and winds north-northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight will be mostly clear with lows around 50 degrees and winds north at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow you can expect mainly sunny conditions with highs around 72 degrees. And tomorrow night should be mostly clear with lows around 51 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, northwest winds 5 to 15 knots early, becoming northeast 5 to 10 knots, then northwest in the afternoon. Wind waves 1 to 2 feet and a northwest swell 3 to 7 feet at 8 seconds. Currently outside the station, it is 61 degrees. The time is 11:06 and it's time for hour number 2 of the Saturday special with your host, MZ.
Hey, Dave.
Yes, MZ.
Do you have a community tree service? I know it's probably not on the log. Do you have there's a couple of community tree service?
I can dig them up.
If you can dig them up here, yeah. Why don't you do that? Because what we're going to do for the next hour is something that I've been wanting to do for a long time, and we're finally getting ready to do it now at 6 minutes past 11 on AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station. We're going to introduce Adolfo Garcia, who's a friend of mine. He's the owner of Community Tree Service. The guy's so young. He's like only 32 years old. He owns all this heavy equipment and everything. Started from like nothing and is one of my most admired individuals because I really get off on entrepreneurial, spirited and minded people. And, you know, especially younger ones. Jeez. So anyhow, I got to know Adolfo by hiring him to do some tree work for us. And I couldn't believe that he was the boss because he's so young. I mean, he's the owner of the whole company. In any case, you got those ads now? Let's play them both here, okay, just so people will sort of remember.
Owner of Community Tree Service. We offer dumpster rentals, tree work, demolition, and free estimates. For any of these services, please go ahead and call my office and either talk to Regina or Naomi at 763-2391. Thank you.
Are trees around your house looking strange, leaning in the wrong direction, blocking your sunlight, in danger of falling? Take care of this and call us, the professionals, Community Tree Service. We're licensed, insured, and we offer free estimates and are ever ready in emergency situations. We take pride in being reliable and will accommodate your needs with safe professional service and advice. Call our office today at 763-2391 or from Santa Cruz, 426-6340.
That was the singing secretary. Is there another one in there?
Yeah, we have several. This is the noon edition.
Oh, okay. Well, anyhow, you get the idea. We don't need to. So that is that's a commercial. That the secretary is Regina. I mean, and that voice. Hi, Adolfo. Welcome to KSCO.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
You've been here before to record that ad, at the very least, and provide a dumpster or something here from time to time. But I've been meaning to get you on the radio for quite some time, so people can get to know you. And just sort of talk about all. Tell us a little bit about your back. No, wait a minute. Let's not do that. You know why we shouldn't do that? I just realized we haven't started hour number two in the official way.
Okay.
So let's do that. Okay. We got to just do that here.
That's fine.
By here. There. Now we'll do that.
Oh, hello, darling. I
hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Okay, for years that you've been hearing the Saturday special, you know, they tend to be controversial. Or once in a while, we have one like today, an entrepreneurial success story where we interview the person, you know.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And it's 10 minutes past 11. Welcome to hour number two of the Saturday special. It's MZ with you. Our phone numbers are 479-1080. We'll be opening the phone lines in just a little bit. But for now, I want to welcome Adolfo Garcia, who is a friend of mine and the owner of Community Tree Service. Adolfo, you are not a native Californian, are you?
No.
Where were you born?
I was born in Mexico.
Uh-huh. Whereabouts?
Michoacán, Mexico.
Michoacán, near Morelia, Michoacán?
Yeah, very close to Morelia.
That's one of my favorite places.
Yeah, it's about 45 minutes from Morelia.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Did you like to eat cabrito growing up and birria?
Yeah. I mean, when I was young over there in Morelia or in Michoacán, you know, I didn't really went out to any of the cities because, my dad died when I was like 9 years old. So, you know, I mostly just stay home and just work off my house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, until I went to Mexico City.
How many brothers and sisters do you have or did you have growing up?
I have two brothers and two sisters.
Uh-huh. And what did your dad do before he passed on?
He was a farmer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He was a farmer and he died in a truck accident.
Oh. Yeah, and so was it your own family farm or did he work for someone else?
He had his own farms.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, his dad farms. And,
so you're sort of from an entrepreneurial background. When did you decide to come to emigrate to the United States?
Well, you know, I since I was like 10 years old, 9 years old, so I
just
always...
Just a year after your dad died.
Yeah, I you know, I already was thinking what to do to support my family because I was the oldest in the family, you know.
So you sort of became the dad at age 9.
Pretty much.
Isn't that? Yeah, that's incredible.
Pretty much. I mean, my mom and my brothers, everybody went to Mexico. And I didn't went to Mexico. I stay in Michoacán with my grandpa and my grandma.
Uh-huh.
For probably a year and a half, and all this time I always thought that, you know, I had to do something and go out there and work and help my mom in some way. So I went to Mexico City and I started working, you know, on construction.
At the age of 10?
Yeah, I had to do it. I mean, I just had to do it.
You were just a little guy.
Yeah. I mean, I've been working since, you know, I was 10
years old.
I mean,
you're not all that big a guy now. Yeah. 32.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And then about, the, you know, age of 13, 14, I really start thinking about coming to the United States.
Why?
Because, you know, I heard stories about how everybody, you know, can make a little bit better money if you really come here to, you know, try to really work and you know, try the success. And, I mean, you know, I mean, if you want to do the right thing.
Did you know people who had come to the United States? Because I used to work when I had the video business in the 1970s.
Yeah.
I used to do contracts with the state of California, with the Department of Education. And I did a lot of work for the Migrant Education Department, where people with families would migrate between a lot of them, Morelia, Michoacán, and the Pajaro Valley here.
Yeah.
So there was this community of people who lived part of the year in Michoacán, Mexico, and the other part of the year here in the Pajaro Valley.
Yeah.
And so I made a video about education, education plans and education systems to make their education uniform, make the education of the children of migrant workers uniform. And in the process of that, I learned that there were a lot of people then who made their living part-time in Mexico, part-time here.
Yeah, there is a lot of people that do it that way.
Still?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So you must have seen a lot of those people when you were growing up.
Exactly.
And maybe talked to some of those people who said, hey, yeah, you can make a lot of money in the United States.
I mean, not a lot of money, but at least a little bit better money than what you can make in Mexico, you know. I mean, I've seen that a lot of people that came here and, and work and be back with, like, a truck and had a house and, and that's kind of what I wanted,
Here?
No, I mean...
Enough money to bring back to Mexico to buy a house and a truck there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, I just wanted to make a little bit of money to help my mom and, eventually either build a house or have some way to support my family is what I want.
Right.
So I talked to some people and, I found some people that they could help me, little bit. And about the age of 14, I got people that helped me to bring me to the United States and, I came to first to San Fernando Valley down by L.A.
Okay.
And I stayed there for like 2 or 3 months with an uncle. He was the guy that kind of helped me out, with my visa and all that.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, I stayed there with him for a while, but I couldn't find any work down there. And I needed to work, so I stayed there only like 2 or 3 months. And then I had another friend in Watsonville that I didn't know exactly where he was or I didn't have much information, but I knew that he was working in the fields. So I decided that I was going to go to Watsonville one day, from San Fernando Valley up to Watsonville.
This is what maybe around 1990, something like that?
Yeah, because I was about 14 years old.
Yeah.
And so I came to Watsonville looking for this guy that I couldn't find. And all what I knew is that he was somewhere in the Pajaro Valley. It's all what I knew. And so there is a place over in the Pajaro Valley that if you don't have a house or you don't have anywhere to go, you can go there and sleep overnight,
It's so like a homeless shelter almost?
Yeah, something, like that. And then so it's what I spent about 1 year there in this place, A whole year there because I didn't have any work. I didn't have anywhere to go. And in the mornings, actually, I would get up and go to 41st Avenue and try to find...
Well, were you specifically looking for a certain type of work?
No, not really. Just any job, whatever I can do. I mean, I was only 14 years old. So, a lot of people, they don't want to hire you when you're, 14 years old.
So you couldn't get an agricultural job, in the fields or
anything? I couldn't really get much out there. There was one guy that I went and helped out to pick up some, blueberries and stuff. I didn't make very much money. He paid me only, $40 for a whole week, 4 days. And I remember that one Friday, this guy asked me if I wanted to go to 41st Avenue. And I go, yeah, I go there and see if I can get any work. Mm-hmm. I went to 41st Avenue, and there was this man that take us to, clean up his garden and stuff. He gave us $120 for 2 days, Friday and Saturday. Since that day, I thought I'll never go back to the fields just because I didn't have a steady work over there. And I make only $40 in 4 days when I make $120 and this other place for only 2 days. So since that day, I started just coming to 41st and
So at a pretty young age, you broke out of the mold of doing what you normally, what most people who would come from Mexico just automatically do. You couldn't do it because you were too young and they wouldn't hire you to do field work. So it was sort of a lucky thing, huh, that you sort of discovered something else that's a lot, that pays a lot more.
To this day, people
out at well, it's not Kmart now, it's Home Depot. out here, and it's Lumbermen.
Yeah.
There are people waiting to have day labor jobs, which a lot of other people don't want to do.
I was very lucky in that aspect, you know. I mean, I was there and I was getting work pretty much, you know, 2-3 days a week, sometimes 4 days a week, you know, sometimes even 5 days a week. So I don't know. I think it became the time that people kind of like me, you know, people that came there and look for workers, and, you know, they kind of know already who is there and who is good worker. And, you know, I spent about 2 years there.
Uh-huh.
And after 2 years, I found a job kind of in the trees, you know, doing trees. And
so you work for a tree company?
Yes, uh-huh. I worked for a tree company for something like, I think it was like 6-7 years
uh-huh.
here in Santa Cruz. Since this guy picked me up, you know, I always been doing trees.
Right. And so how was it that you found that job? Was it advertised, or did you happen to work for him in another capacity? He liked your work ethic, or what?
He picked me up on Kmart.
I see.
And since he picked me up there, he asked me, you know, if you want to come to my yard every morning, and if I have work, I'll give you work. If I don't have anything, you know, you're just going to have to go home, or you can go to Kmart.
Yeah.
And since that day, I was there every day, you know, like at 7:30 in the morning, waiting for him to show up and let me know if he had any work or not.
So this must have been around 92, 93, something like that?
Yeah, since I think 1990.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 90, 91.
Okay. So, wow.
Yeah.
That's quite a ways back. So how did that lead to you owning your own company? And it's not a little company. I mean, it's. I'm amazed every time you can say, hey, you know, Mike, we can do that. You know what? You can demolish a house. You can do all this. You have all it takes to do anything.
Yeah.
You can grind stumps. I mean, you can do everything the big companies can do, really, right?
Yeah, pretty much. On the trees, I can pretty much handle anything on the trees. On demo, we're not that big. Yeah, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I started doing demolition not too long ago, but we can handle pretty decent jobs.
So how did you go from learning to work in trees? How did you learn the business part? Because, you know, you don't normally do that when you're out cutting the trees yourself.
Yeah. This company that I used to work for, it was also a pretty small company that... the guy kind of teach me different aspects of the business. And what I really wanted to do for this other company is I wanted to make this other company a better company. You know, I'm talking about the company that I used to work for.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, things don't really work out good, you know.
Well, what happened? You wanted to do things for your boss that the boss didn't want done, or what? Was he threatened
not at all. I mean, actually, I kind of wanted to take over the company, you know.
Uh-huh.
I asked him if I could be his partner or let me take over the company and
buy into it or something?
I was going to put more offer than money because I didn't really have any money, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, I always liked machines so much that, you know, I always wanted to have better equipment to do better and bigger jobs.
Right.
You know. And also, you know, just talking to people. You know what I'm saying? How to explain people what you can do, how you can do it, and that type of thing, you know. I started learning all that stuff. And it became the time when I asked him, you know, I either have to... I have to become like your partner, or let me take over the company. I'll handle the company and I'll make it a better company, you know. And he decided that he didn't really want it to go that way.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to be on his own. And
uh-huh.
I asked him to, you know, find somebody else because I was probably going to be starting my own company.
Uh-huh.
And it's how kind of everything came together.
What year was that?
Now it's been about 8 years
uh-huh.
that I have my company. So about 8 years ago is when...
Now, in order to start your own, for that kind of company, it's a serious investment in capital.
Yeah.
Now, if you didn't have capital back then, how did you get it? How could you convince the banks or other lenders to
go
with you?
I was, like I said, I worked for him about probably 6-7 years, and I always saved my money, you know. I always saved my money as much as I can because I always had the idea to do something in the future, you know. So when I start, I already had equipment that I needed to start my business. I didn't have much equipment, but I had a truck and a chipper and, you know, chainsaws, and I knew how to do the work because,
right.
you know. So I knew also some of the companies that sell the equipment up in Livermore.
Yeah.
And I went up there and talked to them and asked them that I wanted to start my own company if they can help me out. And I knew the owner of the company, and I talked to him a little bit about what I wanted to do. And he kind of also worked with me a little bit with the equipment.
Uh-huh.
And it's how
so
I started.
So he let you use it, or?
Well, no,
or
he let me buy it uh-huh. with an option of payments, you know, like monthly payments.
Right.
But kind of big payments, you know.
Right.
So we didn't have to go through the bank and stuff the first time. And after he see that I came, I could pay it off and. He just opened the doors.
So you just worked really hard yourself, or did you hire some employees at that point?
At that point, I had only like two guys.
Uh-huh.
One of them is my brother and another guy that I had at the time. And that was the hardest part, just the beginning, you know, after a year or two, because when I started my company, a lot of people already kind of knew me, that I was doing trees, and I don't know, I've been having pretty good luck, you know.
Yeah.
All the people that I meet, they refer me out there, and they always call me back, so it's been kind of easy.
Yeah, that's great. Well, anyhow, we did have a phone call, but we don't now. I guess he got cold feet, but if you want to give us a call, the phone number here at KSCO, you can talk with Adolfo Garcia. I'm intrigued by you know, people who sort of come from, you know, backgrounds where you wouldn't expect that they would, you know, be able to build a nice business, which is exactly what Adolfo has done. To look at Adolfo, you'd think he's you know one of the workers here, and you know, and that's what's great about it, because he acts like the workers. I mean, you do some of the work yourself even to this day. Right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You do a lot of it, right? I mean, you do a lot of the driving, and right? And
yeah, I do whatever needs to be done in the company, you know. I mean, I can be sitting in the office, but I can also go out there in the field and do whatever needs to be done. Anywhere from, you know, climbing a tree to dragging a brush.
Uh-huh.
Dragging the brush, or, you know, demo house, or, you know, driving a tractor. Whatever needs to be done to help my guys, and,
right.
you know. I go one-on-one with any one of my guys.
So originally, to get... to the position where you had the tools of your trade, you made friends with other people in the business.
Yes.
Who decided to help you out.
Yeah.
By selling you good equipment.
Yeah.
That and giving you credit to
yeah.
pay it off.
Yeah.
But at some point you must have gotten to, because you don't do that for huge pieces of equipment that you have right now. I mean, you were telling me yesterday you got a crane recently.
Yeah, it's not a huge crane, but yeah, I got a crane not too long ago. I bought a crane.
That's not from a friend, is it?
No.
I mean, you need bank financing for that, right?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah, no, the first machine that I bought, you know, is the one that this guy up there, he kind of helped me out a little bit on credit,
mm-hmm.
you know. But After that, everything else pretty much wasn't credit. After he see that I paid off good and everything, he put a good word for me with the banks. And
I see.
And after then, you know, it's just been, I go there and pick up whatever machine I need, and they'll give it to me without even putting a deposit, you know. And they just send me the paperwork next day or whatever, and I just have to sign it and, you know, make the payments.
Right. Well, I think that's just great because, you know, more and more these days, particularly in high capital type businesses such as yours, there's no space for the small operator, for the independent.
Yeah.
Just like this radio station.
Yeah.
Big companies own all of the, like Davy Tree and all these enormous companies that do work for PG. By the way, do you do work for PG&E or does Davy have that? Years ago, they had the exclusive contract to do.
Yeah, up to this day, I really don't do any work for PG&E.
Uh-huh.
I try to be a sub for Davy Tree, but I haven't really got nothing yet.
Uh-huh.
I do municipal work, but nothing for PG&E yet.
Right.
I do work for the state and some of the counties and some of the cities around here. Not all the cities, but some of the cities I do work for.
Right. And what are some of your bigger jobs or the most momentous, you know, the kind of jobs that you remember the most? I don't know, either because you were extra proud of doing the work or something strange happened or what?
Well, all the jobs are pretty much the same to me, you know. I mean, every job is, every customer, you know, is valuable to us. But some of the jobs, you know, the jobs that I have done for the state, some of the first ones really have memories, you know.
You can take down whole groves of eucalyptus trees and so forth growing along a freeway. And
yeah, and trees, we can pretty much handle anything pretty much, from the biggest job to the smallest job.
Uh-huh.
On trees. Yeah, last year I was going to do a pretty big job, almost like $500,000 up in Hillsboro. But it didn't happen because of the people. Everybody got together in the city, and they didn't want the job to be done.
Oh, at all?
At all, yeah. But the school, it was for a school district, and they wanted to take all these trees down. And I got the bid. I was the lowest bidder. But it didn't happen. That was kind of one of the biggest jobs that I ever bid on. And, I always remember that job because it would have been nice to do that job, but, you know, it didn't happen.
Have you done have you done other jobs that you did get in the hundreds of thousands of?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, I mean, nothing huge, but yes, I have done other jobs for the state.
Uh-huh.
For the state and some of the counties.
Right. I would think it would be a good business to be in here, where there are a lot of trees and a lot of rainstorms in the winter. I mean, you've got to be real busy during the wintertime, right?
Yes.
I mean, typically?
Sometimes it is. It depends if it's really windy and rainy and a lot of trees come down. And sometimes it gets really busy. This last year, we didn't have very much.
Mild winter, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking with Adolfo Garcia, who is the owner of Community Tree Service here. Community Tree and Dumpster Service, actually.
Yeah.
You got into dumpsters, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I understand how important dumpsters are because you don't have to haul your stuff off to the dump. You just throw it away at your own place when you're doing your spring cleaning or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I still have to take it to the dump.
You have to take it to the dump.
Yeah, but on my own boxes.
Right.
And we try to recycle as much as we can. We really don't go to the dump with green waste, with wood, you know. We just chip it all up and give it to people, give them the chips if they want them.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And we give away also the firewood. If somebody wants the wood, we just give them away, give away the wood. Because I really don't do any firewood business, but I give it away.
There are people who are in, that's their main business, is doing firewood.
Yes.
Are you saying that you will just give firewood away to the job person, right? I mean, the person you're doing the job for.
But also firewood companies. I give it to firewood companies also. I drop it off at their yards because I'm really not in the firewood business. It's a whole different business that right. I don't do.
Right. Well, that's great. So anyhow, if you want to give us a call here at KSCO, you can talk to Adolfo if you have a question. I want to get into the whole notion of people doing the work in this country. I mean, there aren't too many people who are willing to go out there and do physical labor, whether it's cutting trees, you know, digging holes or anything. I'd be very interested in your sentiments about that. But before we do that, let's take our first caller. That's Pedro in Santa Cruz. Pedro, welcome to the Saturday special with MZ and Adolfo.
Hey, Mr. Olson. This is Pedro.
Hey there.
How you doing?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm just going to call and ask Alfonso that what is the...
It's Adolfo, but that's...
Yeah. Adolfo. I'm yeah. sorry. Adolfo.
Yeah. It's okay.
What will be his advice for a new business owner that they are just starting the business?
Well, advice on what aspect?
On managing the business and people, like, did you do your own paperwork, or since the beginning you hire somebody else?
At the beginning I do my own, because I had only like 2 employees. But, you know, after that, I had to hire somebody to help me out with, you know, payroll and all that stuff, the books. I mean, you know, if it's something that you can do yourself, and you should do it yourself, yes, because you save a little bit of money, and, you know, that money you can put it back into the business.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's, you know, it's very important that when you go out to bid a job, you know, you really talk to the customer and you explain what you can do and how you can do it and all that, you know. And people like that, and they appreciate that, you know, the owner comes to the job site and explains how it's to be done and what you can do and you know, and all that. I mean, obviously, if you get big, you have to hire people to go do estimates. But I think it's one of the things that I've been really success on. The most of the bids I go do on myself, and I pretty much get not all the work that I go see, but most of it.
Yeah, okay.
People really appreciate the personal touch here.
Exactly.
Do you look forward to getting real big? Because people I know who have grown their businesses, I mean, some people actually they feel like they have to get big. I knew a guy who was in the record business.
Yeah.
And man, he started his one little store. It was called Odyssey Records here in Santa Cruz, and it grew to be huge all over the country. He had stores everywhere. And, you know, I would run into him in the street. I said, God, you must be doing really well. He says, no, it's a matter of survival. You have to grow to get big in order to survive. Is that the way it is in your business? I don't think so. Am I right?
No. For now, I got pretty much to the point where I want to be.
Yeah.
I just,
you're not looking to expand. I mean, you just you like doing what you do the way you do it.
I love it.
That's what I love about your business. Yeah. I mean, you know, I've done, you know, over the years, you know, I've dealt with a number of tree companies, and I will always elect to do business with an independent rather than a big company, regardless of what it is I'm having done.
Yeah.
I just don't believe in fattening you know, big corporations that are not part of the community. I just don't do that. I mean, but anyhow. So, but sometimes that's not always possible. Susan and Aptos, you're on the air with MZ and Adolfo. Hello. Well, maybe Susan will call back again. That's a very bad line here.
Yeah.
479-1080. If you've got a question for Adolfo or for or comment, please give us a call, 479-1080. If you want to shoot an email, it's mz@ksco.com now during the program or any time afterwards. Let's see. I think we should take a commercial break here, first of two, actually, that we will take. Looks like Susan is calling back here. We'll see. Maybe we can take her call while Dave is getting the commercials up and ready, or maybe not. This is someone else, Jackie in Watsonville, okay? Jackie, you're on the air on KFCO.
Hello?
Hello, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that I'm from Watsonville, and I think it's really valuable and interesting to hear someone's own story that migrated here. And I grew up with parents that were very prejudiced, and I grew up in Watsonville, and they the names that they called those people, that's what I grew up with. I got away from that as a young teenager, and I teach my own children to respect, and, you know, if we pass a field in the car, then I tell my kids, look at that. They're awesome. You know, who else would we, when we go to the store, you take for granted that our fruits and vegetables are there, but those are the people working hard to make it possible. And I just think it's, if we could hear more individual stories of how people got here and what they went through to get here, more people, especially my generation that grew up with parents like mine, I'm 37, would just have a more understanding of that. You know, my parents made it sound like everybody from Mexico ended up here in one big flock, and each individual person has a story that...
Jackie, are your parents still living?
Yes.
Have they changed their attitude at all, do you think?
Oh,
or,
no.
Or not? No?
Oh, no. And when I was in high school, I was told never to date a Hispanic. It was awful. And I always knew it was wrong. And when I was maybe halfway through high school, I was able to form my own opinion. And even right now, I still live in Watsonville. My neighbors are Hispanic. My kids play, you know, and...
So have you been what's a good word, excommunicated in any way from your folks? Have you been
because, yeah.
Really?
And the interesting thing is,
oh my God. I was just sort of half jokingly asking you that question.
I mean, it's for other reasons than just that, but when I was still in contact with them, yeah, they didn't like to come to my house because I live right in the middle of, you know, Hispanics, and my kids play at their house, and it's ironic that my parents have the mentality that we're so much better than them, when I get more love and support from my Hispanic neighbors. You know, I'm a skinny white girl, and the mom insists on feeding me, she invites me over, she, you know, we have a language barrier, but I still am in their home a lot, and we do the best we can, and I watch her kids, she watches my kids. I mean, it's unbelievable to me, the mentality of most of the baby boomers.
Yeah.
And what,
really?
What
they, you'd say most?
I think so. Everybody in my family and other people I talk to, I mean, yeah, you know, I grew up, I don't know if it's nice to say it, but that they were beaners or wetbacks, not people.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Jackie, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special. It was a great call. Appreciate it.
Oh, I wanted to know one more thing, a little more about his family, where his mother is. Did she come over here too? Or?
Yes. Yeah.
I can take that off the air.
Yeah, okay. Most of my family is around in Watsonville. I mean, it's one of the reasons, you know, I do what I do, because I wanted to support my family and, you know, have a place for them. So
that's really neat.
Yeah. I really appreciate your call, and thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. Okay. Dave, let's take that commercial break right now. And up next will be Gary in Santa Cruz. And I hope we'll have some other callers here before the end of the program. 479-1080 is the phone number to call. It's MZ and Adolfo Garcia. Adolfo is a wonderful, inspirational success story here. If you got something to get rid of, you need a dumpster, Adolfo's your man. Take it from me, I know. If you got a tree that needs or a grove of trees or whatever, Adolfo's your man. He can do it. If you got a place that needs to be demolished, you know, to make, he can do that too. He's like a miniature granite construction company right here at the KSCO Radio. So let's take a commercial break, and we'll be back right after this. And give us a call at 479-1080.
When it simply must get done right and on time and on budget, call ALS Construction of Marina, 831-521-6885. ALS is a licensed construction company that remodels, renovates, plumbs, electrifies, paints, and cements on time and on budget. Listen.
Hi, my name's Jack Sheldahl. It may be a cliche, but ALS Construction does perform quick, efficient, professional, and clean service. When my job was completed, the only evidence left of any construction was a very beautiful fence.
When you need to get the job done right and on time and on budget, give ALS Construction of Marina a call. ALS Construction offers free estimates, fair prices, excellent references, and guaranteed work. That's ALS Construction of Marina, 831-521-6885, 521-6885. That's 521-6885.
This is Bill Lambert of Lambert & Son Moving, 831-420-0419, your local family-owned and operated full-service mover. We service the entire Monterey Bay Area, both for local moves and for relocations throughout the state of California. Our staff includes a lady that I consider the most skilled packer in the region to protect your valued fine china, crystal, and fine art. Lambert & Son Moving also handles commercial moves and have relocated facilities as large as 60,000 square feet. Call Lambert & Son Moving at 831-420-0419, 831-420-0419, to schedule a free, no-obligation estimate. I will even bring 10 free moving boxes when I come out for your estimate. That's right, 10 free boxes.
Tell my daddy at Lambert & Son Moving at 420-0419.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Regilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both Gilda and I and my son Dino look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
On September 29th and 30th, keep your weekend plans out in the air for the California International Air Show in Salinas, featuring the United States Navy Blue Angels and the Canadian Forces Snowbirds Precision Jet Teams. And this promises to be one of the most exciting Salinas air shows ever, with two jet teams screaming across the sky, plus FA-18 Super Hornet and A-10 Demo. The ground will rumble and shake with the Shockwave triple-engine jet truck, and you'll also feel the heat of the incredible wall of fire. The California International Air Show in Salinas. It's high-performance, action-packed excitement for the entire family. Order your tickets online today at SalinasAirShow.com. Gates open at 9 a.m. Show starts at noon. The Jets are back at the California International Air Show in Salinas. Sponsored in part by Hyundai. September 29th and 30th, featuring the United States Navy Blue Angels and the Canadian Forces Snowbirds. Keep your weekend plans up in the air.
And I went there last night, folks. It was fantastic. I saw the wall of fire. You won't see that. That's been and done. But what an air show. The Salinas Air. Are you going, Astolfo? You need to go. You need to go if you're not going.
Yeah, I mean, I probably should go.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's great. Yeah, it's happening today and I think tomorrow, too, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So, anyhow, welcome back to the KSCO Saturday Special. It's MZ and Adolfo Garcia, an entrepreneur friend of mine who owns Community Tree Service and Dumpster Rentals. What's the phone number?
It's 763-2391.
763-2391. Okay. So, I will vouch for Adolfo if you got some trees that you want taken out. He'd a man for you. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. By the way, if you want to call us in the remaining 12, 13 minutes of the Saturday special, now is a good time to call. 479-1080, 479-1080, or mz@ksco.com if you want to email. Okay, Gary in Santa Cruz, you're on.
Your guest there, is he a citizen of this country?
And
also, did he come in this country? And when did he do this?
Well, you were nodding your head, so I think the answer is yes, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, I'm a citizen. And like you say, like I explained, I came here when I was 14 years old. I'm 32 years old now. So.
And when did you become a citizen, and how did you do that? I mean, do you have to study and, you know, go through one of these exercises and so forth?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't just come citizen. First, you have to be a resident for so many years, and then eventually
take a test and so forth. Okay, Gary, any other question?
Thank you.
Hello? Gary? No more Gary. Here's Barry in Soquel. Barry, you're on the air on KSCO with Adolfo and MZ.
Yeah, Adolfo will know who I am. And I called because I've been listening to your program, as I often do.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to indicate why I have supported him in a small way. And it's not in the tree service business. It's in demolition. I'm a longtime demolition contractor locally, and I've known Dolfo several years and seen his tree work, and he decided to go into demolition. And my main reason for supporting him is that he did it the right way, in that he achieved a demolition license and insurance before he just started doing the work and becoming a competitor. And so many of the people around the community have not acted in that manner. So I feel like, you know, he approached it in the right way. And at least in that arm of the business that I know very well, I felt like I could immediately refer some jobs to him as he gained experience and so forth.
And you were always happy you did, right? He always did right by you. And you...
So, yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Oh, thank you, Barry. Thank you for calling. Yeah, I really appreciate it. I mean, you know, I admire you a lot. And, you know, I mean, as you know, I'll talk to, I mean, anybody that is doing, whether trees or demolition or dumpsters, you know, I mean, I don't look at anybody as a competition. I mean, I think it's enough work for everybody that wants to do good work and honest work. I think we, everybody can make it out there.
Yeah, well, anyway, I just wanted to put my 2 cents worth in, and it was nice to hear him on the radio, and so far as I know, everything he said was true.
Well, I can sure say that's the case from my personal experience. Anyhow, thanks, Barry. Appreciate your call. 479-1080. We've got about 9 minutes left in the program, so if you're going to call, now is the time. Rory and Watson, what is it with all these hummy phone calls we're getting today? Hello, Rory.
Yes, go ahead. Can you hear me?
Yeah, maybe it's on our end. Does your phone make that noise?
Not right now. No, it sounds good. I just wanted to call and set, be a, as a satisfied customer. I'm looking at one of Adolfo's 40-yard dumpsters that we're using on a job. We use it a couple times a year, and they just provide great service. And I think he's the success story of an immigrant that we need to champion and let people know this. There's a right way, there's a legal way, and we need good people like Adolfo and his family to make good in this country. There's, like you said, there's plenty of work to be done for people that want to work.
Yeah.
And I've got, you know, we're running this job. We've got 240 people out here just for a short period of time doing some plant work on strawberry plants, and it makes it go smooth, and all your suppliers come through when they say they're going to come through. So, good job.
Wow. Okay. Hey, thanks very much for your call.
You bet. Bye.
I'm going to try a little experiment here. Okay. Okay, I don't hear any hum, so it's not on our end. It's not on our end. Hey, listen, there's space for a few more callers if you want to call. 479-1080. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Maybe not your favorite host, but I'll bet one of your favorite guests. I'll bet. Yeah, give us a call if you want to participate here. So listen, Adolfo, do you think is it harder to find people to find good workers? I mean, I hear people complaining about business owners all over the place. Complaining it's hard to find good.
Well, for me, it hasn't really been hard to find good people. I've been having pretty good luck with finding good guys. I have some really good guys that they're always, you know, open to do the job, and they always get it done.
What do you think about the situation in our country? I mean, I had to ask you this. I mean, the whole illegal immigration thing. What's your feeling about closing the border? We don't have to go there if you don't want to. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but a lot of people feel that closing the border is necessary for protecting our economy and certainly protecting the safety of our country, because people who want to do us harm find it pretty easy to enter our country through the open border system that we have. Do you have any feelings about that? And I understand if you do and just don't want to...
I don't know what to say in that, really. Uh-huh. I mean, it's difficult, you know. It's hard because I know I'm kind of in the middle, you know.
Yeah.
What can I say?
Yeah. So, and I guess everybody who hires one of the people like you used to be out at Kmart.
Yeah.
Is participating in that whole illegal immigration, because a lot of those guys were, and when you were one of those guys, you were always legal, even before you were a citizen.
Yeah.
Because you got a visa. You were telling me about your uncle helping you get a visa. Okay? Yeah. So, I guess, like a person said, like one of previous callers, Barry, I guess, said, yeah. You know, you did it the right way, and, you know, God bless you. It's wonderful. And that proves that it can be done. But then there are other people who do it the wrong way, and I don't know, should they be rewarded? I don't know. Well, probably shouldn't go down that line, down that path. But if you wanted to, if there's anything about that you might want to share, hey, go for it. And if not, I understand. So anyhow, yeah, let's see who's on the air here. Yes, we have a caller. Who's this? Hello?
Michael?
Yes.
Yeah, hey, you know what I've always found, that when people say they can't find good help,
yeah,
it's normally because those are the employees that just don't want to pay anybody.
Uh-huh.
You know? They're looking for slave wages. Because any time I go out and look for somebody, or every time I did go out and look for somebody and treated them right,
yeah,
I got great work.
What kind of business are you in?
I had construction. I had a food business.
Uh-huh.
I've done everything.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I always managed to find good people, but I paid them right. And I treated with them respect.
Are you? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes all the sense in the world.
I don't, you know, every time you hear somebody pissing and moaning, you got to ask them, well, what was the problem? Well, I'm paying them, you know, $6 an hour, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so. you got the key right there, you know.
That's the key. I treat them with respect. I've always treated people with respect, and I wanted people to treat me with respect. So
definitely.
A lot of this stuff is so, we're taking these arguments and we're making them, and then they're not believable.
There are so many people who will not do the work at forget about $6 an hour. I mean, there are people who won't do, backbreaking work for $20 or $30 or $40 or $50 an hour.
Well,
Am I
right? Michael, those people are going to pay a price that they're not even aware of throughout their life. I just came back from the East Coast, and I visited some of my relatives, and I'm talking about 25, 27-year-old kids, well, grown-ups. I'm not talking about kids anymore. They don't know how to start their lawnmower, you know? They don't know how to use a trimmer. They don't know how to fix a toilet. And it's going to back up on them, boy, at one time. And they're going to pay a tremendous price because they're helpless. A lot of American kids are helpless, and it's the parents' fault.
What's your name?
They've done it to them.
What's your name? What was your name? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, what was your name?
Richard.
Oh, Richard. Yeah, so Richard, are you still in business now?
No, I'm kind of retired now.
How long have you been retired?
Actually, a few months.
So, okay, so...
I blew my knees up.
Oh, so, you know, it's pretty, you're speaking from some fairly recent experience, I guess.
Oh,
huh?
Without a doubt. And, you know, we have people, we have the young kids today, they don't even know what they're missing, you know. They've got no sense of work They complain about this and they complain about that. And unfortunately, the parents who are well off aren't making or not allowing the kids to have the experience of work. I call it enabling.
Other people call it enabling.
I've been working since I'm 11 years old.
How old are you now?
And I'm 60 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I hope to work for the rest of my life, you know, until they drag me out. I hope I die with a hammer in my hand.
Great. Hey, Richard, thanks for your call to the Saturday
You're
special.
Welcome.
Appreciate it. Here's Jim in Seaside. You're on the air, Jim.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Over the past 20 years as a homeowner, I've hired a number of different people for lawn maintenance and trimming up my shrubs and things like that. And almost invariably, I find those people that will cut the growing tips out of my flowering maple or my cassia tree. And in the initial interview, they'll say, you know, they know everything about everything. I don't know how to gauge the quality of someone who comes in. My question is, I've had a couple of people over the last number of years recommend different types of seeds for a very small lawn patch that I want to put in. Something grows around here, and I found out that the recommended Kentucky bluegrass doesn't work around here year round.
Hey, wait a minute.
Go
ahead. You got to ask real quick because I've only got 30 seconds less.
What kind of grass grows around Seaside? What's the best thing to plant?
I'm going to give you a honest advice. I don't do landscaping, so you have to call a landscaper. I basically just deal with trees. You have to talk to a licensed landscaper.
He must have thought it was a gardening show that we were doing.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, Adolfo. Best of luck to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 12 noon. Here is Fox News on the radio.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. He's gone from person of interest to suspect. A manhunt underway for 37-year-old Chester Stiles of Las Vegas, linked to the sexual assault of a then 3-year-old girl caught on videotape. Nye County, Nevada Sheriff's Detective David Berukowitz.
In terms of where to look for him, anywhere in the nation, because he knows exactly what he's done, and this is a fugitive that needs to be brought in.
Stiles, a convicted sex offender. The little girl, now 7, is said to be safe and with family members. A 12-year-old boy giving the Democrats radio response. Graham Frost urging President Bush not to veto a bill to expand health care coverage for kids.
I don't know why President Bush wants to stop kids who really need help from getting chipped. All I know is I have some really good doctors. They took great care of me when I was sick, and I'm glad I could see them because of the Children's Health Program.
President Bush, in his radio address, says he has to veto the measure.
Congressional leaders have put forward an irresponsible plan that would dramatically expand this program beyond its original intent, and they know I will veto it. But it is good that they kept the program running while they try to work out a more responsible approach.
Democrats concerned so much money is being spent on the Iraq war while domestic programs are being vetoed. Violence in Iraq leaving at least 40 people dead, 2 U.S. soldiers killed by gunfire in separate incidents. Expanding its recall, the New Jersey-based Tops Meat Company now recalling nearly 22 million pounds of ground beef products. The beef may be contaminated with E. coli bacteria. So far, 3 confirmed cases. You decide 2008, he's not going there. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich deciding he won't be running for president after all. No word on which Republican candidate he might support in the race. And you're listening to Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
When it simply must get done right and on time and on budget, call ALS Construction of Marina. ALS is a licensed construction company that remodels, renovates, plumbs, electrifies, paints, and cements on time and on budget. Listen.
Hi, this is Darren Davis of Draft Tech Building Design. I have worked with ALS Construction on several construction projects. I find ALS to be a very capable construction company with a broad understanding of construction and design. ALS pays attention to every detail and is not afraid of a challenge. I would recommend ALS to all of my clients.
When you need to get the job done right and on time and on budget, give ALS Construction of Marina a call. ALS Construction offers free estimates, fair prices, excellent references, and guaranteed work. That's ALS Construction of Marina, 831-521-6885.
Fox News Talk.
This grandpa disgraced. Police at the Jersey Shore arresting a man caught on videotape using his four-year-old granddaughter to steal an employee's purse at a boardwalk arcade in Seaside Heights. 52-year-old Daniel Toomey taken into custody in Connecticut outside of McDonald's. He's been ordered not to have any contact with his grandchildren and will be extradited to New Jersey next week to face criminal charges. Don't adjust your set. Today, a popular children's cable channel goes dark to get the kids off the couch.
Go outside and play. Words familiar to those of us born in the pre-PS2 era, but for kids today, not so much, which has parents and health experts concerned. In response, the Alliance for a Healthier Generation created Worldwide Day of Play. Now in its fourth year, the program is endorsed and promoted by kids' TV network Nickelodeon, so much so that they've pulled the plug on their own network. Going dark for 4 hours today, the blackout began at noon Eastern. Nick will be back on air before the streetlights are on. 4 o'clock, they jump into a SpongeBob marathon. Melanie Grenham, Fox News Radio.
Something to celebrate today for the mathematically challenged. That would be me.
They're in cell phones, on most computers, and on the desks of many accountants, but they were nowhere to be seen 4 decades ago. The calculator is celebrating its 40th anniversary of being patented today. The application submitted by 3 men working for Texas Instruments when the first handheld calculator was built. And from every great invention comes another. One of the 3 who submitted the application crediting the calculator for giving rise to some of today's devices, including cell phone buttons, rechargeable batteries, and thermal printer paper used at checkouts. Mary Regal, Fox News Radio.
And a former Lost star sounding lost, a judge noting Michelle Rodriguez failed to complete a court-ordered alcohol monitoring program for a 2003 arrest. Prosecutors claim she violated probation. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, or should I say good afternoon? It is Saturday, September 29th, 2007. Today you can expect mostly sunny conditions with highs around 71 degrees. Wind should be north-northwest between 10 and 15 miles per hour. Tonight will be mostly clear with lows around 50 degrees and winds north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow should be mostly sunny with highs around 72 degrees and tomorrow night clear with lows around 51 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, northwest winds 5 to 15 knots early, becoming northeast 5 to 10 knots, then northwest in the afternoon. Wind waves 1 to 2 feet and a northwest swell 3 to 7 feet at 8 seconds. Currently outside the station, it is 67 degrees. The time is 12:06, and it's time for Perspectives right here on AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz.